You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello, Mojo.
All right, it's Saturday, September 19th, 2015. The live stream, fly in the morning on the North Shore of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the media capital. Die up, well, I suppose. And it looks like I have Unreal from Paris.
I'm here.
And also,
hello.
Hello, comment ça va?
Ça va bien?
Oh, Fik. take any English word and put a spritz on it and you'll get French.
Yeah.
But it seems, from what I know about French, many words, recent words that are in French that are just origins in English and they just put a little on the end of it.
Yeah, I think English is the most influential language since some time already. So yeah, French obviously imports words and make their own little spin on it.
And we also have Mojo in the live stream. I don't know if she's awake or listening, but welcome Mojo if you're there. I'll take it that she's not there, which is fine.
Yes, so I had a question. I had a question about the working on the audio chat. When you see that the yellow banner pop up in the bottom of the Chatango windows, what does that really refer to?
Oh, that's an automated message. Automatically comes in just to remind people that audio version of the chat exists. There's nothing more to it than that.
Because I was just writing a comment, and that popped up, and I said, oh, maybe the person I'm writing to, which was Anon, actually, is just connecting to the audio chat. So I said, okay, I got to get on and see if he's there. Ah. He was, replying a little bit on the Eric DeBay story. So.
Okay, no, there's no – that's an automated message or
yeah,
nothing
so it tricked
less.
Me on.
Yeah, well, it fooled you. You were moved by a robot.
Exactly.
The fake chatter.
Yeah, I think they really want us to have an emotional connection to technology somehow.
Well, I love it. I love technology. I'm addicted as much as anybody. Probably not healthy either. But no, I don't want to say I'm addicted, but I really enjoy it. I really do enjoy it. I just, it's just such a great way to learn.
Yeah, so that would mean like you would be more, enamored with the technology because of what you can do with it. But when you can come to the electronic dogs or something like that in Japan, or you know the Tagamushi, the children's device, you know, when it comes to relating your emotions directly to the technology and not by what you can do with it, then it's another scenario somehow.
Yeah, I don't want to. Have sex with my computer in any way. I just like finding information that I like having a library at my fingertips. It's something I always thought about because I remember when we learned about the library in school and about the Dewey Decimal System and trying to find a book. I thought it was the most frustrating thing trying to find information at all. It was just, I thought it was really difficult. For instance, when we're given a topic, write about an essay and then they'd tell you to go into the library and there's some books you can't take out and some books you can, are reference and some are non-reference. I found myself spending hours trying to find the book with the information that I wanted. I found it a real frustrating system and I longed for the day. I remember even back then when I could just type in to some kind of computer and pull out what I wanted and stop wasting all this time and then find the book, and then you can't take that particular book out. So you have to photocopy it, and then you have to pay for the photocopy. Then you have to try and read the photocopy later on when you get back home, and it it seemed like such an inefficient way of getting information. And now, of course, the day has come where the library is right at your fingertips. Still puzzled how many libraries can exist, just like newspapers. But very pleased, of course, that now we can do so much at our fingertips. I barely, if ever, go to the library. And I think they're shrinking in a way, in some ways. But overall, very pleased with how easy it is to get information.
Yeah, I think they switched politics. It's like before they chained the Bible to the altar with a chain, and they didn't release anything of importance to the public. And then to the libraries, as you say, it was very difficult to get information. Not so many people were able to actually use that system. And now they have switched to a system where there's so much information that we need to use their interface to access it, which would be like the search engine and such. So I guess like in some way, we still are as limited in getting the information in the sense that they control how we get it. So it's like the fact there is so much information means like the people in general would probably have as little information as before.
Yeah, it's quite possible that there's so much food that knows where to begin, and then they end up consuming the food, which is just garbage, and they're still malnourished.
Yeah, and I feel like when you look at YouTube, I guess that's at the cutting edge when it comes to too much information. It's like I tried to research some things on YouTube, and I got dizzy only after an hour or two. It's like so much.
You have to know how to pull out the information. I really do. I agree. There's a tsunami of information.
Yeah, and I feel they have constructed loads of fake characters that push a lot of different information on the YouTubes. It seems like it's a very much a contrived environment, and probably where they consider most people will be in a couple of years too.
Yeah, YouTube and Netflix. Well, yeah, and it's the same old. The information is being pushed at you mostly. You're not pulling it, and if you're not pulling the information down, you're not really doing too much of your own thought, and you're just still in receive mode.
Yeah, because when you look at the different entities that are most prominent, it's always the same authority scheme that they put on. It's like they tell you what to believe, you know. It's not anything open as we can do here on the audio chats where people actually discuss and ask questions. Everything is already decided for and given to you.
Very much so.
Morning, Ab.
Morning, Mojo. Hearing a nice male voice in the morning saying good morning.
It must be like, what is it, 6 o'clock in the morning with you?
6:30.
6:30. Okay, so you are 4 hours behind us.
Oh, you're 4 hours ahead of us.
Does it
work? Say hi to Unreal from France.
Hi, Unreal from France.
Hello, Mojo.
I was just listening to what you were talking about, libraries and stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting how we are going from having limited information to too much information, and how
too
the result
much.
Of those two actually kind of makes us be in the same position somehow.
The difference is now, if we want the information, we can really get it. This would be the elite's excuse to say, well, all the information they could ever have wanted, they didn't take it. So therefore, no harm, no foul, and we take it away and do what we want. Once more, another reason to continue the rule over people when they refuse to take their freedom seriously and actually make good use of it.
Another thing you touched upon is like you couldn't understand how the press could survive with the internet, but as we know, it's a propaganda machine, so of course it will still be there to push the talking points. So when we talk about the good information, I mean, seriously, it's limited how much good information there's out there. I feel like you need to really be quite you know, thorough to be able to glean any good information in reality.
Dig and to find good information and try and share it. And that, of course, is what I do on my blog, fakeologist.com. I don't really do any of my own research. I do find stuff and I try and collate it and assemble it in a sensible way for people that are really just focusing on fakery and illusion and magic and all the things I'm really interested in and deception, and put it in one place just to make it that much easier for anyone else to find. And of course, everyone could find all this stuff on their own, but whether they choose to or not, the answer is they choose not to, especially if someone else is doing it.
I think most fakeologists have taken a real long time to find your site. You know, I took a long time to find a place where the information made sense. And I think it's I don't know about Mojo, how you found the fakeologist website. Did you go through a lot of alternative research before you found something you kind of more liked?
8 years.
Yeah, you see, so that's a long time to find you, Ab.
But he wasn't there 8 years ago.
I wasn't. I've only been there 3 years. So in this form, I've had blogs for, I found the software that made it really simple to post stuff for all the other sites, really. Software called Gray Matter, which I think is gone, had a blog going. Not about this, but I just like posting stuff away.
Yeah, and before you started Fakeologist, as I understand, you were on the software that Chris uses for his talk show. Yeah, you were in talk show for some time.
Only for a month, until I figured out how it was too inferior quality-wise. The audio was poor, and the interface didn't always work. Frustrating, because some days the software would not even work at all, and I just could not tolerate that instability. Frustrating, so I had to find something stable.
Okay, so you pretty quickly started Fakeologist from the point you had made a decision to talk about the obvious fakery in the 9/11 research then.
Yes, I had another site, my name, aberrato.info, and I quickly decided that was not catchy or memorable or easy to spell or say. So I tried to find a word that I could just describe myself quickly to people. I don't want to be called a conspiracy theorist, because that name has been obviously adulterated and corrupted and prejudiced in people's minds. So I just chose a new word that, if people really want to know what it means, they'll have to ask me. Because if I just tell someone on the street...
What do you think of the fact that in the alternative media now, it's becoming a trend to like categorize the people that think everything's fake? And do you feel like that kind of is something that has been more prevalent now after maybe sites like Looseform and yours have become more prominent in showing the fakery?
I think I've heard. It's hard to tell if because I'm looking for them or if they're just there more frequently. That's a really hard one, because I don't look for the football scores. I know they're there. I can't tell you if they're there more than they used to be, because I don't look. Problem with trying to determine that. But it seems to be a constant flow, maybe a little more. There's maybe a few more stories about fakery. Again, they could have always been at this rate. If you're not looking, you're not going to see it.
Don't you find it very interesting how alternative researchers try to differentiate themselves from the fake crowd, where they obviously will put us?
Well, fake is kind of a negative word as well. When we talk about fakery, we're really talking negatively. It's not, if I call you a fake, it's not a compliment. But really, maybe the whole word is not great, because it starts off negative. Buy a product and it's fake. Well, it's not something you brag about.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you say that maybe the fakeologist word in itself is a little bit negative, and that it could be, what would you call it today then?
I have to think about that. I have to think of a positive way of describing what we do.
Terminology is important, in fact, and they use it against us all the time.
Sure, words are selves. spell a word and you cast a spell over someone when you say something to them. Whether or not they fall for it is another question, but say one word to a person, even the word boo, and that word can scare them. How is that possible that a word can just scare somebody?
Yes, yeah, so right now I feel like people would accuse me of, oh, you're one of those people that thinks everything's fake, or they say, oh, you're a flat earther or something like that. So they have these words that really makes anything I would say pretty ridiculous from the get-go.
It really affects everything else that you have to say if they are prejudiced right out of the gate against you. And of course, the people that get it the most are black people, because to a black person, you make 100 assumptions about them instantly. Almost nothing they can say, lay eyes on them, can move you from your original preconceived notions, because you already have all these ideas firmly ensconced in your brain through the media, through your own interactions, and it's very difficult for people to start talking, dealing with you, because they're really starting the whole situation from a huge deficit. They're literally in a hole that they have to climb out of your perception of them.
Yeah, I think that's even more prevalent in the United States and the Americas as a whole. For instance, in France, it's a very different situation when it comes to those prejudices, I think, in the sense that I do not think that the black population of France feels it as strongly as it must be felt in the United States, for instance. And it's true that the tales of the slavery is at the grounds of much of it in the United States, and they didn't get voting rights before quite recently also. So it's a little bit different, I think, from in Europe from the United States on that point.
Well, when you see a black person, what's the first thing you think about? First impression you have of them?
I don't think about anything when I see a person. I'm more like looking at if they're tall or small or big or whatever. So it's like it depends on every person, that I guess. But the negative connotations are not as big in France, for instance, where you don't have that, you know, the gangster rapper and the gangster identity so prevalent.
Well, the first thing I think about is, wow, how black is that person? Or if they're not so black, I just... degree of blackness. Really, that's a bad way of to be, but it's the honest truth. You just evaluate them for how dark they are, and of course, all of society is always ranked on their skin color.
To your case, I would just say that even between themselves, black people does use that kind of color scale too. So it's like
yes, they're worse. The darker they are, the farther lower they are.
Exactly. And Indians and Asians, too, they also have that kind of measure. And when you see Asians in Europe, for instance, I just saw some on vacation now, they actually have umbrellas not to get suntan, because that's like lowering their social position somehow, or their, you know, first impression, I would guess.
Yeah, India, of course, the farther south you go, the darker the people get. I would assume it's just because the sun is higher in the sky all the time and it's hotter. And of course, being dark in the sun is an advantage because you have more melanin in your skin and it protects it. But yeah, they're even called darkies there.
Yeah, we call them darkies.
Negative on, they're very high on level.
We don't have very many here.
In Scotland, that is.
Well, I'm quite north. We're quite high up here, so one or two, and they really stick out.
What's their names?
Yeah, Jane. I know Jane. She's from Kenya. She's really black.
Just joking, but so you are living in an environment that's pretty...
white.
Yeah, and small then, so you're not in a big city or something. You're more in the countryside.
Oh, yeah. No, we're on the coast to fishing villages.
It must be really pretty.
Yeah, well, it's very grey. get a lot of cloud here.
Yeah, but the landscape of Scotland is, I find, very beautiful.
Yeah, I think the landscape of most places is pretty good.
That's true. As soon as we don't have any human intervention, it's mostly
flipping wind turbines everywhere.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier. Are the wind turbines, are they a negative feature for all Scots, or do you?
I don't like them, no. I've got one right in my line of view, and I can hear it. Woo, 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 woo.
I don't like the sound.
And I've got a 7 just round the corner, and I've been right to the bottom of them, right up close. And it says on them that they cost £14 million each.
It's on them what? They kill birds?
I don't think so, no. Don't like them.
Anyway, getting back to my earlier discussion, sometimes we have to use our words so people aren't predisposed to thoughts about what we'd like to talk about.
Sorry, you're breaking up a wee bit for me there.
Yeah, maybe I'm in a bad area.
You are working on the weekends then, Ab?
Yes.
So, Mojo, anything interesting happening in Scotland when it comes to fecology research? I remember I heard a lot of talk about Scotland and through like the likes of David Icke and stuff with child molestation. Is that something that's big in Scotland still? Or?
Yeah, I don't like to go there, really. I think it's big everywhere.
Yeah, I meant more on the alternative media front, if that's one of the subjects that's most talked about, or if there's other subjects.
We recently had, I grew up with Jimmy Savile and Rolf Harris. So that was quite shocking, really, especially Rolf Harris. I mean, you know, speechless, really, about it.
I feel like it's a lot of scaremongering in those stories, too, in the sense that they come out at a convenient point when everything's already over and that they can more or less put any words in their mouths as they are, like, not there anymore.
Rolf Harris is still here. He's in prison.
Oh, okay. But Savile, of course, he's not there anymore and he still got his medals.
Yeah, but when you look back at him now, I mean, just looking at him, you can tell he's, like, creepy. End of Prince Charles and Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister.
Yeah, I don't know anything about these stories. I never hear. We don't follow it here. It doesn't come through here.
Do you have any sort of people like that in Canada then? Or?
Well, I'm sure we have every type of people here, but it's not voted by the media. Oh.
It was promoted in the alternative media through Kenneth Kevin Annett and the child molestation of the Indians, where he was very prominent for some time on the, for instance, Red Eyes show, when he also was accusing the church of all these horrific crimes. So there is. That kind of meme also in Canada, and I don't know how much of that is being discussed now, but it was, for a couple of years ago, it was kind of a hot potato somehow.
Well, not in the media circles I traveled. It didn't reach any prominence in my mind, but it's been 3 years since I really followed the headlines here in Canada. I read the paper every day. I get the feed of the biggest newspaper here. I try and keep up with that.
You're right. There's a difference. What I was alluding to was more the alternative media, but it's true that these cases in United Kingdom, they are more in the real media or the mainstream media. And the same thing can be said about Belgium and a little bit in France now too, through the all the media hysteria around Strauss-Kahn and all that kind of people.
Yeah, well, don't have any big cases. For instance, like the Penn State media event That was a big story, and quite frankly, I'm not sure it was true. I'm not sure any of it was real. A lot of it was hard to believe. It was promoted by the mainstream media, and of course, as we well know, any highly promoted story is very suspicious. Is there any truth, some truth, or no truth in the story? Can't know, but we can clues. I haven't really gone over the Jerry. It was essentially the Jerry Sandusky date story.
Yeah, if the goal is to stir up emotion in the public, of course, to have our children involved is a very effective way to have most people very disturbed and going into a state of fearsomeness somehow.
Oh, sure. Number one. It's number one in the playbook of emotion. First you portray children, and that gets the women involved, really. Then they call upon their men, something about it. It's a chain reaction.
So that's something that can
emotional
be,
reaction.
Seen in the school shootings too, and also the fact that they moved down to really small children in the Sandy Hook case. It's like they do target their emotions through the victims that they try to have them be, you know, our children, and so we probably will be even more prone to getting into the area of fearsomeness they probably will have us be in.
Well, there's really two themes that they play upon. They're one and the same. And they're children and innocence. You would never have heard in the past the word innocent being used over and over in a psychic driving way. Call someone an innocent, it means they were there minding their own business. They had no link to the story, but yet they were caught in the crossfire and often killed. And that's a term that is played upon over and over again. Of course, children are always innocent, so it's a double meaning there. And they're just key words that are used in psychological operations because they go right to your core. Women. Women are so, and that's, it's great that Mojo's here because the idea that women are far more emotional by design. If women were not emotional, wouldn't have the nurturing characteristics to children and are much closer to children than men because they can bear them. Simple as that. It's a biological reality. And when they target people in psyops, they start with the emotion. The logic is not worked on because it's not effective. And to create a logical psyop, very difficult because it's so easy to pick apart, faults in it right away. You're just looking at it logically. And then if you see too many problems with it, dismiss it and walk away and it doesn't have any effect. But if you start off emotional stories or you highlight them and promote them and replicate them and make them the focus, then you have an operation on the go. And it targets women, really targets women first and foremost.
Yeah, and also when they come out with new stories, it's like it's so fresh that they can't really know so much. So it's like you understand why you can't have a lot of information, but you're still so interested that you will read anything just to glean some information because it's like on the early stages, right? Like I remember when I was watching the events of 9/11, I was watching everything in the hope I would get one or two small informations in all the emotional build-up that I had with the interviews, with the dusty people, with the, you know. So it's like they do have an effective method of having us, swallow all the emotional spin as the story is unraveling in direct, so to speak, like the live aspect of it. Are you there, Mojo?
Yeah.
So I guess you might have also been shocked by 9/11, and do you have a recall of how you lived that period and how you...
Oh, yeah.
At the time?
Totally freaked me out. Well, I've stood under the towers when I was 16.
doing you had the physical you had a physical impression of how big those buildings were.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the new one from ground level? It looks like a pyramid.
It doesn't surprise me. I've seen the architectural drawings, but I haven't been able to have the perspective that you talk about. So you have been there and seen it?
No, no. If you just Google sort of ground level view of the, you know, the new tower, and you can see it. It's clearly a pyramid, yeah.
I wanted to make a post, but I never got around to it. I got distracted. So it's called One Freedom Tower, I believe. I believe it's number one World Trade Center place, or however they describe it. And it's obviously the Freedom Tower. It's the merging of the two. And I wanted to make a post that the first tenant that moved in, a company called Condé Nast, media company. I haven't got around to that point, but I thought, wow, there is the ultimate slap in the face for those that follow what we do, and that is a media corporation is the lead and big tenant in there right now. I'd never heard of Condé Nast before, but they're a umbrella corporation that's quite old, that formed maybe 100 years ago, and they are the over corporation of many, many well-known publications this day. So if anyone wants to Google Condé Nast, do it and see what they own. Maybe someone can do it now while they're...
Do you think they struggled to get tenants, really, you know, after what happened?
Maybe.
Or maybe not. Maybe that the CEOs of the big companies, they do know they didn't, they weren't ever in any real danger, you know, so it's like the decision is taken on the top, you know, so if a big company wants to move in, they'll move in.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They know.
It's probably pretty effective to have their employees, you know, in a good place to take orders to be in a fearful environment somehow. You know, take them up and have breakfast at the top of the Freedom Tower. They probably will do what you say the rest of the day.
That's true. But maybe, are you at your computer, Unreal or Mojo? Would you be able to pull up Condé Nast? Very strange name, but it's the name of some person out of the corporation.
How do you spell it? Like,
I've been in contact with that name before, because you know, most of the magazines, at least in Europe, they are owned by Condé Nast. So it's like on their email addresses, it will be Condé Nast. So yeah, for sure, they are a huge name.
You are familiar with. I'd never heard of it before until I realized the media story that they were the first major tenant to One World Trade Center, which of course is the merging of two into one. Got a cult symbolism all over the place.
They are like the owners of Vogue, Vanity Fair, Wired, The New Yorker, Glamour, Traveler, Gourmet, GQ.
Wow.
You name it.
So what's Condé Nast? What language is that in?
Exactly. So that would be good to have some kind of an idea about where the name comes from. I can't say that I know that, but it would probably be some god or something.
There was a guy named Condé or some. Might be a. Just look it up. I can't remember now. But the guy that started the company 100 years ago was named Condé. I don't know if it was his nickname or it was his given name. I can't remember now, but sort of, I think they describe what kind of, where his parents got the name, because it is so odd name, or unusual name, we should say. Somebody, why don't you guys look it up while you can? Don't wait. This is the audio chat. All silent sections are blanked out. Except if someone else records it. There are some, blank spots in the uninstall media audio chat. I didn't get a chance to edit it, but there's some empty spots there.
Yeah, so Nast is also very close to Nasty, isn't it?
The Gnostic?
Nasty.
Oh, Nasty, yeah. Okay.
So,
Condé is an interesting word. Hey, what did you find, Mojo?
Yeah, it's named after its founder, Conde Montrose Nast. But I still don't know what language that is. The E's got a thingy over the top of it, you know.
Conde, well, that would be an accent aigu. Is that right, Unreal? Is my French correct? That would be an accent aigu.
Excuse me, I didn't get you. I was reading just that Uncle Sam was drawn by the cartoonist Thomas Nast. So,
right. So that's a very old symbol.
Yeah, and he's there is some problems with that Uncle Sam figure too. I think there is some likeliness with him and some relations to Satanism. I think more or less, if you look close at it. But I haven't looked into that. That's just something I kind of think I have come over at some point.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, so I'm looking a little bit into archaeology right now, and it's true that archaeology was started in the I don't know how you call it in English, more or less, but you know the Renaissance. It's also called the Luminary Period in French. I don't know what it's called in English, actually.
I've heard the Renaissance.
Yeah, so archaeology actually sprang out in the 18th century. So it was a whole new science, and guess what it started with?
Dinosaurs, didn't it?
No, it started with the discovery of Pompeii, which we now know is mostly fake. So that's how serious that science really might be. So I thought I was going to try to start a post on that and to try to see where Egypt fits into the beginnings of archaeology. I think it could be a major part.
Pyramids were constructed so long ago? Prop? Is that possible that...
It's a little bit difficult to have a clear stance on the question right now. But when you look at all the artifacts from Egypt, many of the artifacts are actually carved into the mountains. And when you look at those kind of carvings, it can be suspected that many of those carvings are made more recently, such as Petra, which I think is mostly faked, which was discovered after thousands of years in 1812, you know. So it's just a carved out temple in the soft rock that's in that region. So it stands to prove, but I think that it is a convenient way to create ancient artifacts, just to use the stone that's in place and just make something out of it and make them, as in the case with Petra, big tourist attractions. And from then on, it's a mind trick that when you say something is like very ancient, you kind of lose sight of the fact that it was only discovered like 200 years ago, you know?
Well, yeah, there were sculpture and carving into rocks. When was that at its peak? Is that a Roman thing? Is that when did the great sculptures emerge? When was that a popular trade? What was the peak of being a sculptor? What years were they? Would that have been maybe the Greeks, the Roman Empire in that time period?
I think all through the history of what we know, I would guess like until we had photographic equipment, sculpture and painting was the only ways to try to move the imagination of the public. And I think it was a big demand too to see the representation of things you only heard vocally. So that was prevalent in artistry for the longest time, I would guess. But when I think about the big carvings like in the Petra case in Jordan or in Egypt with the Valley of the Kings, they do resemble kind of some of the sculptures you have in the United States done quite more recently of the founders of the Constitution, I guess. Is it, I don't know where it's made, but it's like these huge figures of the different personalities in the American independence, isn't it? Isn't that in like a...
Yeah, that's Rushmore.
You know what I allude to? The big sculptures made in rock?
That's not Rushmore. I was going to go see that this year, but when I looked on the map, it was too far. It's right in the middle of the U.S. in South Dakota.
So the Valley of the Kings in Egypt really looks like this exact same, you know, people that could do it, you know, and why shouldn't they, you know, be a little bit more contemporary, you know, when it's carved in stone like that, it's impossible to give it an age because, you know, the age of the sculpture will be the age of the stone. The stone is old, so of course it's impossible to say it's have been done recently.
Absolutely, yeah, that's so true. So that could have been done. Yeah. Well, as you said, sculpture has been main record keeper for a long time, so it would be impossible to tell. But maybe it was done more in the Roman times or the Greek times. Certainly doesn't go back as far as whenever they say, or they say the Egyptian period. Excuse me, what?
Yeah, so it's very interesting in some sense because as I suspect that archaeology is founded on fraudulent occurrences of what they pretend to be ancient populations, it could be, you know, extrapolated that that would be their main modus operandi when it comes to the discipline as a whole. So if they start with something really fake, I mean, what proof do we have of them actually wanting to do something real later?
Well, yeah. Yeah, they've been myth-making forever. And there's really no reason to take history at face value anymore at all. Because we can see with immediate history how it's immediately warped and immediately changed. Lied about, and as memories fade and people that were right there behind the media was being fear or stop talking.
Yeah, and I guess like the common man, statements or opinions are not written down in any books or recorded in any audio format those times. So it's like if you just let one generation die and you miseducate the next, you can say whatever you want about what they actually have physically around them. And on that subject, it's true that the precursor for archaeology was antiquarians, and when those two disciplines kind of mixed, one of the first examples was the thorough study and the reconstitution of Rome.
I'm not familiar with that. What's that all about?
Well, I'm just looking into it, so I can't. I just find it funny that the first examples of excavation and restoration of history would be like Rome and Pompeii, you know.
Quite the coincidence, yeah. That's very interesting. That was where they started off, and maybe that was the first related history. And maybe was a volcano. Maybe there was a explosion, but. Maybe all the evidence is fabricated and built into a interesting story.
Yeah, and also it's a way to develop new techniques of creating history. And I don't know enough about the different aspects of what we can see today of Rome and the historical evidence that's there. But I do feel quite confident that Pompeii, when you look at the evidence, that is very likely to have been faked. And from there on, it would be interesting to see what a discipline that was like built around this finding could come up with something valuable after starting with a fake.
Yeah, I have no doubt. Well, I don't have any idea. But if there was a volcano that erupted, I am certain that people were not frozen in place and covered with lava, which then solidified in the shape of a body. With the faces animated with horror, that is completely and utterly beyond any form of belief in my idea, in my system. So that's, they could just call that a dramatization, but there's just no way in reality that anyone would be locked in that position with solidified lava.
But what is a very good clue, I think, is what has been what I understand is the duper's delight, and the fact that I think that when an operation is really successful and they have us fooled really well, they just can't, you know, they can't resist pleasure of smearing it in our faces for a long, long while. And when we see like new movies of Pompeii all the time, it's also indirect evidence for how they are aware of what they did and how well they pulled it off.
Yeah. Mojo, are you still there? Can you speak to the emotional aspect of psychological operations as a female?
Maybe Mojo has seen the images of the woman with the baby in her arms that died by liquid rock and that was immortalized forever in Pompeii.
Yeah, looking it up now.
And what was really practical, I think, with Pompeii was the fact that they didn't even have to make the sculpture very good. They just make like the basic shapes and that was it, because they were supposed to be enrobed in lava. So you couldn't discern any facial trait very specifically. They look like mummies, yeah. Actually. They actually look like mummies. And, you know, that was the biggest findings of Egypt was the mummies, you know?
Can I just ask, why would you fake Pompeii? Why?
If you look in the story, you will find that it was a very effective way to propagate fear. You know, they had these people in the worst, most horrible imaginable positions. And when people read about something like that, they imagine it for themselves. So it does serve a very important purpose, is to have the population being scared and to actually be in charge of the historical picture looking backwards, you know?
Yes, but we do actually have volcanoes. They're not fake.
No, but do you see this narrative of fear being utilized in a good way if you don't have that that mise en scène or that staged event of Pompeii to engender fear and fright? I agree with you, Mojo, that it seems like so ridiculous, useless to have us to do something like that. But then again, they do this on so many levels and for reasons that really escapes us. So when we can see fakery, it's like it's done for a reason in their eyes. And I think like in the case of Pompeii, the at the time there was no movies, there was no radio, and but there were books, and they could draw these things, and they could communicate it in another way, and it would be a great news stories, I guess, in every newspaper where you can see these frightening images from the past, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not on board with everything is fake yet.
We're not saying everything is fake, we're just saying the aspects of stories are faked and hyped up. Create fear. Fear is the number one tool to manipulate people. Scare people, you can do whatever you want with them. Point.
And Mojo is true. It could be that they found something underneath the ashes and they just added the people there to make the story much more frightening and worth communicating on, you know?
Well, just don't live near a volcano, probably would be the idea.
You're closer to the lake Loch Ness.
Yeah, sure am. Yep.
Yeah, can you speak to that? Have you ever been to Loch Ness? It's a lake, right? Where they say there's a monster.
Yeah, it's a loch. Yeah, I've been all around it. Yeah, I've climbed Ben Nevis near it. I've never seen the monster, no. But it's kind of...
What do you think the purpose... What is the purpose of the myth about Loch Ness? What do you think?
I don't think it's a myth. I think it's true.
There's a big monster in there?
There may have been. You get these really big, you know, weird-looking catfish-type things. I mean, it could have stemmed from something like that, you know.
You think there's a big, giant, horror-like creature?
It didn't have to be that big, to be honest. It was just unusual, I think.
Okay. You know? Okay. I tell you, that was one of the first myths I can ever remember in my head. You say it's not a myth, but a way, it's been blown up into some cartoonish,
yeah,
like character.
Yeah, I think it's sweet. But the Loch Ness.
So, Mojo, do you believe in dinosaurs?
Oh,
so Loch Ness monster is kind of the same family, I would guess.
Yeah, I was going to say you call it sweet. How is a monster sweet when you're telling that to a child? Monster is not a sweet term.
Yeah, but have you seen, you know, the Nessie, you know, stuffed animals? They're, like, cute.
Oh, I haven't. I don't have any of those tchotchkes here. I'd have to go over there to get one, I suppose.
I'll send you one.
Get it on Amazon.
Is there any cute Loch Ness monsters in the real size?
Yes, actually, at Loch Ness, there's like a museum-type place, and it's really quite bad. They've got, like, plaster-cast life-size things there. It's really bad.
They were probably done in Canada, because I posted a story about some Canadian company that does all the exhibits. They do all the modeling. They started off small, and it's a huge business now.
Have you seen the film with Ted Danson?
Oh.
Oh, well, he did the Loch Ness thing, and it was really good. Yeah, yeah. They called it a Kelpie.
But isn't it very strange that they make so many movies about these things, and don't we suspect them actually to propagate their propaganda with movies?
Yeah, but, you know, Nessie is seen as being very friendly, not a monster.
So Nessie has never been suspected of doing any harm, is that so?
No, that's right, yeah.
So it's kind
does
of like
bring
the
people to Scotland? Is that the most is that one of the most famous touristy type things in Scotland?
I would say, yeah, definitely, yeah. Well, up here anyway, you know, apart from Edinburgh, obviously.
Is it a big tourist attraction? Would people actually come to that area just go see that exhibit?
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful place, though, as well. I mean, it's, you know, it's gorgeous.
Is there a boat that floats around the lake?
Yes, you can go right through the loch. Yep.
What do you mean by loch? What is a loch? Is that just a strait, or what is a loch? L-O-C-H, I think.
It's loch. Well, that's just what we call a lake, freshwater lake.
Oh, that's a lake. We have lochs here in our water system here. A loch is the mechanical device that allows boats to travel across lakes of different elevation. It literally is an elevator. Lifts them up and down.
Yes, we have them on Loch Ness as well.
Blocks on Loch Ness?
Uh-huh.
Okay, maybe that's where it came from. Who knows? Word.
Know. But English people can't say loch. They can't get the ch bit out. It's always loch.
Right, they don't have that scraping of the tongue at the back of the.
Yeah, that's right.
Loch. Well, I can only do that when I want to spit. What do you think, Mojo, of the emotional aspect of psychological operations? Do you understand that? Agree with that principle?
Yes, definitely. But, you know, do you think
it hooks women first?
Probably,
foremost?
Yeah. I would say, yeah. Mm-hmm. Likes of the Lockerbie, and they killed all the kids in the school. That was like.
Wait, is that the plane crash one?
No, it is the same place, but it was a school shooting.
Oh, okay. I'm not even sure I know about that. You had a school in Lockerbie.
Yeah.
And that's where the plane crash was. Pan Am, wasn't it? No.
Yes, that's right.
Was it in the same little village?
Well, it's actually Dunblane, but it's next to Lockerbie, so.
Oh, is there any reason why you can think that they've picked those areas to, we think, is stage an event? Is there concentration of intelligence community there, or?
Yes, I mean.
Well, is that right?
Yeah, I found out later on that it was a military school. You know, kids from military people.
Okay. That helps.
Yeah, that's good. That's a clue. Is there an intelligence community there? Is that the intelligence wing of the military?
I think so, yeah.
Where they, I always say that the smartest people that the military, they don't use them to shoot people. They use them to dupe people.
Yeah, we've got quite a lot of military presence here where I am. And we've got the RAF jets flying over our heads all the time.
Does that make you feel safe?
No, I hate it.
I know that talk about global warming, and I don't believe in global warming necessarily, but I...
Climate change, yes.
Even pollution. And I think the airline industry is got to be one of the last industries that has no pollution control devices on them. So when a plane burns fuel, you get all the pollution. If you live near an airport, you can literally scrape it off the wall.
Yeah.
How much... Yeah, whereas opposed to diesel devices, are the air that comes out of some of the high-level diesel devices now cleaner than the air that goes in. So they go after some industries, but other industries are left unfettered and untouched. Like, and I'm pretty sure the airline industry is really working hard against any things to throw on the end of a plane's engine.
You don't believe in chemtrails, do you, Ab?
Well, I don't really understand the purpose, or no one has ever been able to describe the mechanism and the science or the way they work or what the purpose is. There's just too many.
Yeah. Well, we totally had just them here. We had them for about 5 years and they've gone.
Okay. Well, see, there's no explanation for any of that. What they are, why they are, what they're doing. You think that's a psyop, or if that's real, there's way too many questions that haven't even been answered. They're just very...
Well, I actually got quite vocal about it. I contacted the RAF and asked them what the hell was going on. And I contacted the Prime Minister of Scotland, should we say, and I said, what the hell's going on? You know, this is falling on your family too.
So, what exactly is falling on the family?
Well, at the height of the... sort of whatever they were doing, you could see it. I mean, it was a trail and it was actually falling down like a skirt around it. There was definitely something going on. I was into photography and clouds were one of my things. So I was totally on it from start. Got hundreds of photos of it.
I think airplane pollution is real. No doubt about it.
When I was young, the planes never left any trail of any kind. Just a little bit behind them, that was all. Not these great big things that lasted for hours after they'd gone.
What do you think they were doing? And I don't really want to get into a discussion on chemtrails.
No. I don't know.
I just
trying to
has been able...
block out the sun or something. I don't know. Because that's what it did.
I don't think they need any help in blocking out the sun where you live. I think it's a very cloudy area for cast, and you're at the end of the... alleged jet stream. Mm-hmm. And why would they want to block it out even more? Make people up there more depressed?
Maybe.
No, but I agree with you, Abby. It's very hard to pin down the reasons. What remains, though, is the fact that also in Paris, it's the same thing. It's like the last 5-6 years, every morning, it's like you see these trails and... and when I came here, there were no trails. So it's like it's obviously a phenomenon as I see it, but I'm unable to say why or what they really are. And I think that's the difficulty on discussing chemtrails as a whole. But just to establish the fact that there is something that has changed with the skies in many countries and over many cities, that's something at least I can say I have observed with my own eyes. So it's like I see the phenomenon, but I cannot say I know what it is.
Well, has airline travel not taken off early in Europe, where it makes more sense to fly somewhere than even take your Eurotrain?
Yes, but it's like if you just logically think about it, when you come to a big city, every plane is coming and going from the same places, airports, so they should not be appearing in grids. They should be concentric, like going to the same point and going back from that point. But that's not at all what you can see in the sky. You see very recognizable grids that are in a pattern that has nothing to do with the fly routes, unfortunately.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. I was like, where the hell are you going? you know, that's not a flight path. It's like going to the North Pole or something.
Exactly, like none of the planes that leaves the trail behind, they land in Paris, kind of, you know, so that would be kind of strange. You know, they're all on the same height, being like a grid underneath the, over the city somehow. But the phenomenon, I think, is well photographed and documented, but it's very badly explained. And one of the proponents is G. Edward Griffin, and we know that he might be, you know, very controversial as a research figure. So, for sure, it's a lot of problems with the research in chemtrails. That's for sure.
Maybe they just changed the way they make the jet fuel or something. It could be as simple as that.
Well, yeah, not when you see that the planes that leave the trails are not the same that lands at airports, you know. So it's,
okay, so it's
obviously
different, yeah.
Another kind of reasoning for having them as they are. But why and how come, it's hard to pin down. I mean, it's just with, like with space. We haven't been up there and seen what's going on, you know.
Well, there might be something to it. I just... all the information I get about chemtrails isn't telling me or anything. You may as well just talk about clouds in the sky. No one's linked them to anything. I believe that they admit to weather modification, and it might be a beneficial thing. If you can make it rain in a desert, great. If you want to grow stuff, much better to get Mother Nature to water the earth than create an irrigation system. It would be a lot cheaper, you would think. So that would make sense.
They've admitted to the weather modification, though, haven't they?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, the military is trying, but I just don't see physically how you could do it. The Earth is just so big and the sky is so vast. I just don't see mechanically how, or from an engineering point, how it would work effectively.
Yeah,
it's very hard to explain it, I think, but it is more, you know, easy to establish it actually happening, but when it comes to the reasons, it's getting very difficult, because I feel it's a lot of disinfo agents out there to confuse us about it. So it's like when you talk about the subject, you are supposed to have the answers of why they do it, but that's not the question we are supposed to ask. We are supposed to ask the question, is this there or not? And then, you know, you can start to ask yourself what you can be able to get as information from it. But unfortunately, you would need to be up there, gather the dust and analyze it. And who does that? Well, big organizations and the state. And who controls those places? The same people that probably started such programs. So it's like we are really left in the dark as to why and how these programs are, you know, conducted, and in what way they have anything to do with the different agendas. But I would guess like some of the agendas would probably be, you know, linked to the environment and those kind of things, because they are planning to tax us all on the environment for the next centuries, I would guess.
I don't have much to say about it, because there isn't much to say about it.
Yeah, it's difficult to know anything for sure about what's behind.
So did you vote in the Scottish referendum to separate?
Sure did. It was rigged, obviously. They wouldn't let us have that.
Well, even if they did, what would it really benefit? Anything?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's...
how would it benefit you? Would you get your more personalized psychological operations if you had you were allegedly away from the Queen?
Yeah, yeah. She spends most of her time here anyway, at Balmoral.
Is that right?
Aye, just down the road here.
Drop in for tea and crumpets, or...?
So we're on about, we might get another one at some point. But, yeah, I
good
know
for
that,
the construction business.
Yeah, I know that voting's a waste of time anyway, really.
But it does create a lot of tension and attention to the politics. So I think that's a big reason to have these questions come up all the time. And as the tensions would be greater if you don't get what you ask for, it's like they can keep on doing the same type of, referendums, I guess, all the time.
Yeah, well, I think, when the general election came up after that, Scotland voted for the Scottish National Party, and they almost got all the seats in Scotland. That tells you something.
I'm afraid I'm of the opinion it doesn't tell us much, because I think they rigged these things anyhow. But it does move the populations, you know, and their feelings and
I don't know if the elections are so much rigged, but the system is in place, and the elected officials are really slaves to the system, whether they like it or not, whether they think it or not.
When you control the media, you know, it's just a question about how much you promote the this and that candidate, and then you go in and just make the slight modifications in the voting system, and you get the result you wanted anyhow.
Yeah, but it's also the financial system is that is the ultimate control mechanism, and nobody is going in campaigning to completely undo the financial system.
And who gives them the money to do their campaigns?
That's it. So really, they don't have to rig the elections. That's just like too much work. They waste their time doing that when it doesn't matter who gets in. They have to follow a very well laid out and established protocol. They cannot change the protocol. That would far more effort and education and everything to change. That's why no danger on who wins or who separates and establishes a new political system or structure. It really has no bearing on in general, because we're already creating established systems in the world. In every country, it's dependent of who's voted in. That's the whole point of creating these ready-made systems. It's like a franchise, you know. They don't care who owns the local McDonald's. It doesn't matter, because that person has to follow the formula. Otherwise, they're out. They're franchised. Do what they're told. They're just licensing a system. Make sense?
It makes sense, and in another way to see it is the fact that as they make their plans on a much longer time scale, it's the periods that we fight about is just peanuts for them. So it's like they're all moving in the same direction anyhow, and it's in their direction.
Well, that's why I had this argument with my brother. He said, "Oh, are you voting for our federal election?" It's like there's lots of change this year, and all the G5 or Five Eyes countries, the elections.
Said, you cut out for a time there, Ab. I think you need to start over from the beginning.
Oh, okay. I think elections, I agree, elections are just window dressing, just exercises, people engaged, paying attention more than anything. Because, of course, if you vote for your candidate, you're going to be more engaged to see in the political process, and in the end, you're just going to be disappointed because you're going to see nothing changes.
Yeah, and if you take McDonald's, parallel, you could say that if the real powers if they make their plans on 50 years, would it matter what party would be in the power in the different four-year periods if you compare it with the result they would like after, let's say, 10 or 20 or any time?
Oh, it wouldn't, because they are part of a system, well-established system that's rolled out or has been rolled out across the world, worldwide corporation. I don't even know if there's ever countries that were not subscribed to it. Maybe there are Libyas and Iran. Maybe they're not signed up to the exact finance. That's why they're always vilified.
Well, where would we be without enemies?
Well, of course, you need enemies. You have to. The only way you can harness a motion of a wave is you've got to create the wave. If there's no wave, then there's nothing happening and there's nothing to do. If there isn't a wave, you better create one.
Have like
you're breaking up. I think it's your end now. Mojo is unreal, breaking up.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's his end.
Anyway, Ab, I'm gonna have to shoot off things to do. So. Nice to talk to you this morning. It's a beautiful day here. No clouds.
Wow, it's a nice sunny day. Okay, yeah. That's great. What's the temperature there?
Oh, it's probably about, I don't know, 16 maybe.
That's very pleasant weather.
Yeah.
A light jacket maybe?
No, I haven't worn a jacket for months, no. It's been really quite warm.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, well, nice chatting with you, Mojo. I heard Rolo can't wait to meet you.
Yeah, I heard Kay Ham and Rolo talking about me. It was kind of strange.
That's great, you see? Great. Everyone wants to be noticed.
What time would I have to be on to speak to Rolo, though?
Rolo's quite random. I couldn't tell you. He's very random in his timing. So you have to keep looking for him, I suppose. And sometimes he disappears for weeks.
Okay.
Just a hit and miss. Just stay logged in and do your team speak, talk to you. And someone comes into the room or the channel and it might be him.
I mean, this is just great. I've been able to talk about these things because I haven't been able to for such a long time.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah. So thank you very much for, thanks for giving us this sort of place to come.
Very welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, just lots of people to talk to here now. I'll tell you, if I'm not talking, I'm listening. I'm already running behind on the audio chats myself. I don't even listen to them. Hopefully there's nothing untowards in them.
I know.
Before I post them, but I just...
I don't listen to mine because I don't like hearing my own voice, but...
Well, you can skip over that. Just fast forward. It's easy to do.
Yeah.
I skip over the parts that I've dissipated in because I don't need to hear it again.
Yeah.
I remember what I said for the most part, but still large sections that go on for hours and hours and hours. I can't even listen to other podcasts. There's the other podcast now. I can't keep up with them anymore. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. There's only so many hours in the day when you can listen. I can't listen when I... That's my next trick, to figure out how I can play them when I'm sleeping. if it soaks in.
That's taking it too far.
No. I don't. Yeah. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mojo.
Mojo. Ask her why she called herself Mojo. We had a radio station in Toronto called Mojo Radio. It's all about talk for guys. Have your mojo. You got your game on, whatever that means. Got your...
It's kind of a word that describes motivation somehow and destination. Or
yeah, it's a very vague term. I have to look it up in the Urban Dictionary. Private. I'm sure it's in the Urban Dictionary, though.
Yeah, somebody has to tell us what something means. They probably control the dictionaries for us.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, as language is important, I would make sure that the dictionaries were made by my own guys.
Yeah, I suppose. There's so many new words out that slang terms that just get incorporated in the language. I wish someone would control them and keep some of these new words out. Stupid.
At least you can congratulate yourself by having put out Fakeologist, and I think that all the talk about the guys that thinks everybody is fake, it's this kind of an indirect reference to your work somehow.
Oh, okay, I'll take that compliment. Well, it doesn't matter really what word we take, they're going to wreck it anyway somehow. They're going to corrupt it or twist it negative, so I'm not really too worried about changing the name right now. It's a bit of a tribute.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it is kind of getting a bit common that alternative researchers, they have to safeguard against, I'm not one of those guys that thinks everything's fake, you know?
Well, we can react to it quite quickly. But I always like Rolo's thing. He said, what's the opposite of love? You know what he said?
Probably.
Remember what he said the opposite of love is?
No, I can't say I do.
What would most people say?
Hate.
Right, but actually the opposite of love is indifference.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That is such a good line, because if you hate someone, then that means you have equal emotion to love. They're almost the same. They're the same intensity or the inverse of each other, but still mean you care in the end. Because don't hate anything I don't care about. I don't hate chemtrails because I don't know anything about them, and I'm indifferent to them. I don't hate them. So, yeah, if you're indifferent to somebody, it will drive them crazy.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think, like, when it comes to definitions of things, I think it would be the antonym to love would be hate in the books. But in reality, as you say, it is indifference, because that's on the opposite scale of what it really means.
People are paying attention to the research, fakeologist research, and that's great.
Yeah,
glad they hate it.
At least I think that's the result of the quite real findings through Clues Forum, through your site, and now it's getting more and more prevalent in other people's research too. But I would guess, like, the most easy way to discard Clues Forum or September Clues and or Fakeology would be, oh, they think everything's fake, you know?
Yes. I have to point out that we don't think everything's fake. We believe the results are real. That's what sucks about it.
Most people think everything's real, Ab. So it's like it's very important to point out that a lot of things that are that have been faked. So it's just a counterpoint somehow. And as you say, we cannot be, reduced to one word or one thought. But that's what they're trying to do, and that's why they probably needed to establish such an easy way to discard what we have to say, so people don't listen to us.
Yeah, you have to ask people, well, you think everything's real, and where do many people spend most of their time? In movies and television. You have to ask them, do you think all that's real? Do you think that these people in the soap opera are really crying? Do you think they're really grieving? Do you think they're really happy? Reality shows, those are real people doing real things? If you do, then you have a problem with believing everything is real. So they have a bigger problem if they believe all that, base their whole lives on their reality is movies, television. So they get all their information and their ways of thinking. That's wrong.
And what they don't realize is, like, documentaries are movies too, you know? So,
yes.
And news are often just, imaginary stories too. So I think that's one of the big points to take home from what we have been able to look at. Ab, it's lunchtime here in France, and I know your lunchtime is not quite yet, but. Maybe we speak later. But always nice talking to you.
Chatting with you, and I got to get to the audio chats from today and day before, so that's great. Nice chatting with you. Au revoir.
Okay, au revoir. Have a good day. Bonne journée.
Man.
2, 1, 2. Where are you, Frank? Here we are on fakeologist.com.
Hello, son.
Here we are on fakeologist.com, Sunday morning, 20th of September, 2015. Here I am with an ounce of salt a day, Frank man. Now, Frank, how you doing, my friend?
I'm okay, Rollo. How are you?
Very, very well. Very well. You know why I'm very, very well? I've got the biggest smile on my face. I just listened to one of the best pieces of audio and laughed my ass off so hard. You know what the piece of audio was?
I'm wildly guessing.
Well,
have you come to chastise me, Rollo?
Grilling you. John Le Bon grilling you. My favorite young man, John Le Bon, grilling you.
And so your view, Rollo, is this then? Your view is what, Rollo? That your view is that it's all real and that people have pictures of Malcolm.
You did this to me once. Hey, mate, just shush for a second. You did this to me once before and you kind of made me look stupid.
Because I didn't have the ammunition.
I don't have the ammunition that John Le Bon has, which means sensibility, dependability, clear and a way to argue a point. And I felt awful, that time that you you use these tactics of, I don't know how you do it, the way you bring these things into the argument, like that Julia Gillard is Jodie Foster, or what is it now, Malcolm Turnbull's fucking Anthony Hopkins. And then you mix it all up and spread it around,
and you
kind of make us all look like dickheads. John LeBron.
Who is all of us?
It's just so awesome that we have people like John LeBron that have joined the fakeologist community and can counteract your bullshit.
Tell me who all of us is, Rollo.
The sum of us, which is the fakeologist community. Why you come in bullshit. Even Tom Dalper was struggling to deal with you. And Tom Dalper is one of the guys that I respect the most when it comes to fakeologists. You and the way you conduct yourself, my friend, is an outrage. And I thought it was before. And that's why I called you a bullshitter and making no sense. There's no rationality with your arguments. There's no progression with an argument with you.
Well, what's the rationality of your argument then, Rollo? What is your view of how Parliament works in Australia?
So
you don't want to
debate went through
with me,
that
you just
the
want
other
to
night.
Me,
but
is that right?
What is it with you bringing in Ed Chiarini, Dallas Goldbuggy stuff, and then somehow making this tenuous link? What's that shit all about?
What is the problem with it, though? Is it about fakeology or not? Why are you so frightened of it?
Frightened of anything, mate. I've seen Malcolm Turnbull in the flesh. I haven't seen, obviously, Anthony Hopkins in the flesh. But they aren't the same person.
Your view, then, is that Malcolm Turnbull is a real guy that gets up on stage
and says, I really
believe in nuclear weapons. I really believe that we've been to the moon. Do you think that's, even though he must know full well that that can't be true?
When you said, I really, who are you talking about there?
I'm talking about Malcolm Turnbull. Maybe he's a willing dupe.
I don't know. I'm just saying that the way you carry on is like this, you're like this slippery frog, you know, this slippery slug, or a slippery thing that you can't quite get your hands on.
I never said John LeBron was abusing me. He behaved completely like a gentleman, unlike you.
And you should learn from that. Learn your debating style.
Let's recap, Rollo. Let's recap. The only reason I got interested in this show is when Kay Hamad put a video out of me and blasted the crap out of me.
Good on her.
Okay. Now, I had nothing to do with you guys at all. Then I've come on and defended my position. And all that's happened since then is I identify and continue to identify that you guys, you in particular, first of all, you're not actually making an argument at the moment. All you're doing is abusing John LeBron.
I'm praising John LeBron. I'm not abusing you.
Well, terrific. I'm not attacking John LeBron at all. I just said, John, I don't agree with you about your view about how Parliament works. I said, I don't believe it's a genuine thing, right? What's your view, Rollo?
My view is your argument, or whatever the hell you're doing, whatever this twisty, turny, slippery thing you're doing, pisses me off.
Yeah, suck on it. just live how you want to live, mate.
All right, then. All right. Well, thanks for that. That's all I wanted to say to you, because
I'm glad you feel
you really are. You really are a piece of work.
What do you mean by a piece of work?
How do you get to be like you? I mean, you said you've done a master's of
an MBA,
business.
Yep.
Wow. That's what you're like after you've done a master's of business.
I didn't think
business.
You valued MBAs.
I didn't say I valued it. I just said that. So this is what you become like after you've done a master's of business.
Let's identify where we're going with this, Rollo. So what you're saying is, you don't believe in nuclear weapons, do you?
No.
Okay, so do we agree
on
that?
Of course not.
Okay, you don't believe that there was an actual planes hitting a building and that the building
Of course not.
Okay. Jesus, so we agree on that.
How far behind the psychologist eight ball are you?
Okay. So we don't. We both agree. So do you think the Earth is a sphere? Yes or no?
I don't think it makes any fucking difference.
Of course it makes a difference. Of course it makes a difference. But so you're not convinced one way or another. I'm just trying to work out what the difference is.
I just say I don't give a shit.
Okay. So
does that mean John Le Bon doesn't like me because I don't give a shit? John Le Bon's basically sort of leaning towards something that's not spherical. Fine. But you, I don't know where you're coming from or where your stance is. You haven't made it plain, have you? Where's your stance? Do you think planes hit buildings? Do you think nukes exist? Do you think the buildings collapses were real?
I have made my stance very plain on these shows. I've said to you completely. In fact, you made some comments about the show, the 9/11 show, which basically where I said before that show started, there was a commentary where I said the great thing about what's happened in this past year, which I think deserves comment, is bringing the entire model together. The thing was just a normal demolition of a building that was due to be demolished, and everything else was filmed and there were probably smoke bombs put in place on the day, and that the area was evacuated. What do you call it? Barred off and evacuated for the day.
Okay.
Right? I don't think there's any. I don't have any problem with any of that, and it's completely logical. The only thing I have a problem with at the moment is the view that any of it is real. Why do we think that any of it is real in our lives? Why do politicians behave the way they do?
Because you brought into the conversation, and this is the thing, again, the Dave J nonsense or the Ed Sheeran, Dallas Goldbuggy shit, where you brought it into the conversation, which then it's like guilt by association. You know, it's like that sort of shit makes us all look like fuckwits, like fucktards. In the same breath, listen, this is what Dell would say. To even mention that in the same breath, Jodie Foster is Julia Gillard or Malcolm Turnbull is Anthony Hopkins makes us look like fucking idiots. And
who's
you know
us?
That. And
who's
I think
us?
That's you being disingenuous.
Oh, okay. So at the moment, all we have is a whole bunch of people saying it's wrong. And a whole lot
I'll say it again.
If you want to be part of this community... I don't give a rat's ass about what you think.
Well, why did you say it in the first place?
Because who are the guys that dragged me into this thing? You dragged me in. Kay Hamad dragged me in.
No, I didn't. I didn't ask you to say that Dave J, Anthony Goldbug, Ed Sheeran nonsense.
Hang on a second. I'll just repeat for the ad nauseum. Kay Hamad dragged me into this thing with a rather scurrilous video. Now, I asked several times for her to just apologise and retract that. If you guys are not going to apologise and retract that, I will continue to bang the drum until you guys prove to me that Dallas Goldbug is a fake or is wrong. Debunk him because you're apparently an expert on fake media. Or you back off and apologise. Simple as that, mate.
I think a lot of Dallas Goldbug stuff is pretty awesome. And the music he uses and the emotive music that he uses over it, it's
just prove the guy wrong, mate, instead of just pissing in my ear. Just prove him wrong. Simple. A very simple task for you. You're so smart.
I'm smart enough to know that fucking Julia Gillard and fucking Jodie Foster aren't the same person, for Christ's sake.
Well, just prove it then, Mr. Noel. You're so smart. You're the really clever one. It's so simple to prove then.
What, that Malcolm Turnbull isn't?
Prove it.
Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah, prove it.
All right. I've got nothing more to say.
Amazing.
I'm sure others will, but I don't.
Again, as I said, I've got no problem with this. You know, all I am saying is, if you guys are genuinely interested in fakeology, why is Alice Goldberg the Lord Voldemort, he who shall not be mentioned? Really just asinine and childish for the bunch of you. Prove the guy wrong instead of just beating up on me.
Hello, Rolo. You're live.
How are you, mate? How are you doing? You're on your cell phone, aren't you?
Should I turn it down?
I can see your light.
Your light. Should I turn it down? Is that a bit better?
There we go.
Sorry.
Down.
All right?
Yep.
What's news then, old chap?
Check. Turn it up a tiny bit more.
Turn it up? How do you turn it up?
Trying to get your levels right.
This one? Is that better?
There we go. There we go. Yeah, I just had a bit of an on-air sort of stoush.
On-air what?
Stoush. Do you know what a stoush is?
Funny.
Bit of a fight?
Yeah. With
Frank, the ounce of salt guy. I don't know whether I did the right thing. I remember like a year ago having a sort of pathetic debate with him, and he used exactly the same tactics, and he got pwned. You know what I mean? Like owned by John LeBon, someone who's way smarter than me when it comes to debating. And I just wanted to kind of rub a little bit of salt, you know, just to use a pun there, because he's the ounce of salt guy, into the wound. I wanted to rub some salt in there, and because, you know, I think that guy is just a weasel, a maggot. I don't know what words to use.
It's not going anywhere.
Anyone's allowed here, but... Sorry.
You're all right, Rolo. No, it's not going anywhere. It's really boring, and, you know, like... we all look a little bit like somebody else anyway, so it's kind of, I don't know, it's just it hasn't advanced anywhere in the last few months, you know. I was initially entertained by Dallas Goldbuggery, because, of course, it's nice to sort of spot similarities, like spot the ball or find the pair and snap and whatever else, you know. So it's like a bit of a human mind game, a bit of fun, but in terms of fakeology or fakery research, it doesn't go anywhere, does it?
It's worse than that, though. But just hold the fort there for one. Talk for 1 minute. I'll be back in 1 minute. I promise.
Oh, well, I'm not sure I can talk to myself, Rolo, but I'll have my best. Yeah, it's. I was going to post a little message on the chat room on fakeologist.com to say that it's kind of like a nemesis of this Dallas Goldbuggery. It's kind of like a counter response to an earlier rabbit hole. Rabbit hole creator called Joe Viles, and he was kind of like he appeared at the time of the 9/11 hoax, or maybe a bit before, but one of his big claims was that various public figures like Saddam Hussein are played by several actors, which is pretty solid in evidence. And of course Osama bin Laden, whoever, you know, that entity, whoever he was or wasn't, but again played by multiple actors. And Joe Viles used to use this so-called biometric data, or whatever you want to call it, like the length of nose and the height of the ears in relation to the rest of the face, and all this sort of stuff, and the shape of the outer ear and such like. And Viles did actually have a bit more, you know, there was a bit more solidity to his argument, but it nevertheless was a, I don't know, it was kind of like a, well, there was so much other disinformation that he pumped out that it was kind of lost in the thick of it all. Like Viles was famous for claiming that the Twin Towers were actually aeroplanes flown into them. Did you pick up any of that, Rolo?
Look, just to stay on topic here, mate. So just to time stamp it.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're on the 20th of September 2015. I'm here with Psyopticon on fakeologist.com.
Hello, everyone.
I've had a bit of a stoush with the Frank the Salt guy. Now, a lot of it, what Psyopticon's just talked about there is Dallas Goldbug, Egg Cherini, and basically Dave J, and those lunatics who say some people are other people. Now, the important point here, Psyopticon, that I would make is that the sneaky trick, I would say, that Frank the Salt guy was doing was bringing that in and then muddying the waters, it's called. And then, if you know what I mean, it's like, and this is where the beauty of where John LeBon just stuck where he was. He's going, where are you going with this? And it was beautifully done. And I just wanted to kind of just rub a bit of salt into Frank, an ounce of salt, Geelong guy wounds, because he really did get thrashed. And maybe Frank's a better debater than I am, but I still. Yeah, I still got my ass kicked by him, because he uses this twisty, turny, crazy debating style that, I've got no answer to. But John LeBon, nailed him, I thought. I don't know. Have you listened to it yet?
I was actually listening last night. I was just a lurker on the TeamSpeak. I was on the cell phone, but I can hear, but not speak properly without juttering. Yeah, it's kind of got a bit too heated for a... you know, we're all supposed to be working in the same direction, but it got a little bit squabbly.
I get heated, so I have to I can't help myself. But the thing is, we have people like Averado and Simon Shacks and Yohoipaluiz that won't get heated, so they'll calm the situation down. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of heat to make radio a little bit exciting. I'm sure Ab will post all of this.
In a sense, it's actually discrediting this so-called biometric analysis, you know, because, you know...
I don't know anything about biometric
analysis. No, I was just saying while you were away that there was a counter-response to Dallas Goldbuggery. Long, long time ago, there was another fakery researcher called Joe Viles. He was in Australia, apparently, in Western Australia somewhere, but he was, you know, he's kind of like a bit of a sim of a character. And he used to use the same technique of examining people's faces and the measurements between this, that, and the other, you know, from the nose to the eye and all this sort of stuff, and so-called biometric analysis to prove that people were different, which is exactly the opposite of Dallas Goldbuggery, because I think it's pretty common.
Let's just go more specific then. Let's let Dallas Goldbug go for a moment. Let's just say he was saying
Let's say John F. Kennedy.
Do you know who Anthony Hopkins is?
Jimmy Carter. There was one of the claims was John F. Kennedy.
Yeah. But no, let's just use the new one. Let's just try and keep it totally current.
I didn't actually know
the
who they were.
Australian
though.
Prime Minister. Do you know who he is?
Again.
Who's the new Australian Prime Minister? Do you know who he is?
I don't. No, I don't. I should do, didn't I? Who is he? Go on, tell me.
But that's the thing. I don't know if this is going to advance anything. Only I want to kind of keep it to the point. Malcolm Turnbull is not
Malcolm
Anthony
Turnbull.
Hopkins.
Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah. I'm looking at his face now. I can see him on the screen. He looks very different in the different photos I can see of him here. I've pressed Google Images and there's...
So for him to sort of, in this really crafty way, sort of bring it in. Anyway, it didn't fool John Le Bon for a second. And that's all I wanted to say. I was going to type it into the chat and say, Frank, you've just been owned, but that doesn't work. And Ab prefers audio anyway, so I just wanted to sort of – I saw him there on the audio, and I wanted to stick it to him and say, suck shit, you lost that argument.
Does he say Turnbull looks like?
Anthony Hopkins.
All right. So there's also a generational problem here as well. How old is Hopkins?
Tony Hopkins was knocking around with Tom Baker back in the 60s.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it was. I mean, I haven't got any dates to hand, but Dallas Goldbuggery also claims that John F. Kennedy, assassinated in 62, is also Jimmy Carter, which is, again, generational.
I've heard it. I'm not interested in talking about that, but I just...
20 years.
Yeah, look, that's
all.
I think
even the claim that...
You're right, mate. Look, I don't want to clutter up. I don't want to clutter up. I don't think I've got much more to say. I was just hanging around. Hopefully, Ab was going to show up for a bit, but I don't know if he is. Maybe he's busy today. But I was gonna play a really rude song too, just to go. You know, it's just it's when people. When people think that they're... I don't want to think that I'm better than that Frank, the salt guy, or scare people away, but...
Well, we all produce flawed work, you know, flawed analysis or whatever.
You're right.
When it's done deliberately, when it's done with the intention of deceiving, that's a different kettle of fish. And I can't believe Dallas Goldbug believes his own bullshit, but... That's the big one there. Anyway, what's happening on a more lighter note? I did listen to all that last night, as I said, but it kind of got really... It got quite quite hot. But anyway...
It did. And it was excellent, too. But why not? Tom D'Alpera, Tom D'Alpera was actually doing a sterling work as a moderator.
He always does.
And then he let John Le Bon and Frank go at it. And I went, wow, how good is this? And when John just smashed, smashed, he just in argument-wise. Because there's no way John Le Bon was going to be taken for that. Yeah, it was good. Now, look, I'm not, you know, I'm not sort of going, oh, well, I'm saying good boy, John, that's all. No, love bomb here. I mean, John's got problems with me. He's told me straight to my face on air. He's just said, you're a drunk. Fuck off. Yeah. One night. And I did. You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm the same, I'm afraid. I'm a bit of a binge drinker myself. But anyway, it's all a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Mm. What else is happening in the big world, big bad world? I've looked at
Nothing else. So that's why I'm going to, I'm just going to probably leave now.
Yeah. Likewise.
Yeah. If you've got anything else,
I'm afraid. No, nothing. I've got nothing to bring to the table tonight.
Let's just end on that note. So it's lovely to chat with you, Psyopticon.
And likewise, yeah.
Yeah, and when we meet again, until we meet again, mate.
Likewise. Take care. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Hello, Rolo.
Okay.
Hey.
How are you, sweetheart?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh wow! I just had a bit of a punch up on air. A boom, a pow, a crash.
Was that me?
It wasn't you. It was with a guy called, you might remember him, Frank the Salt Guy.
Frank. He's been coming by lately.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, it's nothing to do with me. I was just rubbing the salt in. The wounds were already inflicted last night, you know, by your best mate. John Levon went toe-to-toe with Frank the Salt Guy and kicked his ass last night. And because Frank has given it to me a couple of times over the years because of the way he argues, or he's an argumentative son of a bitch. Just one of these real creepy, he's down in Geelong there. He's an Australian. It doesn't mean, like, again, just because... one Aussie. Did you listen to Chris Kendall talking to Ab? And someone came in, some really drunken Aussie came in. And I just went, my goodness. And Ab still gave him the time of day. What a nice guy he was. I would have flicked him straight away. Or went, you know, when you get a mozzie and you go... Ab says he thinks of his worst bosses he's had over the years. Bang! That's what I would have done. He's having a chat with Chris Kendall, but no. They gave him like 5 or 10 minutes.
Maybe that's 5 or 10 minutes too much.
Well, me and you were on that same sort of, at the end of the, remember the chat we had the other night? We were on the end of that.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yes.
Smack dab.
Yeah, you didn't listen to the Chris Kendall and Ab.
I did.
I listened to it twice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and Chris was, great Chris was, audio.
Well, Chris
he
was
on point, wasn't he? Did great.
Well, he was more honest than I've had him in a long time about his issues that he's had in his life. You know what I'm talking about? His mental health issues and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so obviously he's got something that's gone to his heart. And Chris maybe skirts those sort of subjects, but he wasn't that night. So that was bloody good to me.
Oh,
it's
such a heartbreaking story. Motherfucker, how can you treat another human like that? How can you do that? I mean, he's, you know, any prisoner is at the jailer's behest.
No, he's talking about himself, though. I'm talking about Chris.
Yeah,
himself,
but I mean, how he was tasered on the cold, damp floor of the jail cell. How can humans, you know, this is why it's hard for people to think that some cops aren't at least on the take. And you know, here's my beef with it, Rollo. If cops know that other cops are on the take, which they clearly are, it's clearly a thing, but they don't do anything about it. They let it happen. Where were the good cops when Chris was getting tasered on the cement floor of the jail cell? They don't stop each other. This is the problem, I think. You know, you got to stand up and say no, but I think the police now are even becoming more and more militaristic. Like Chris said, even our stupid little city, all right, we have 6,000 people, 6,000 to 8,000, depending on what your city limit you use, but they bought an armored vehicle. For what? Why would my city need an armored vehicle?
Yeah. Yeah, keep going. I can't answer that. I don't live in America. No. I'm in Australia.
And you know, our police force now, they have a rule. You don't hire from the same city you work. So police don't live in the city where they work. They live in a different city. And that's problematic. That's very problematic.
So they can't
because
make friends.
Where's your... Right. But you should make friends. Because you should have compassion for your fellow man. And that's how we build compassion, is to learn about them and to know about them, right? To understand their struggles. You know, you can build a human relationship that way when we each understand our own struggles. But they prevent
that. That is a double-edged sword, though. You know, corruption can come from that, too. I mean, it's a systemic problem, don't you think, still? But I agree with you. I think I'd rather have people I know. If you have to have a police force, which is a systemic issue, again, do you know where I'm going with this, Kay?
You mean they cause the need for the police force? Is that what you're
well,
saying?
The system where 0.0001% have got it all and 99.999% don't have much, you're going to need a paid mercenary police force.
But you know, who are these? Anyway, what is the police in my city? Let's talk about what does the police do in my city? They sit around. They do patrols at night. They have community activism where they go to schools and talk with kids. They have police day. You know, they do their job, but mostly their job is responding to people who call them to complain about something that happened. So police are after the fact. They're after it happens. They might as well be secretaries.
Okay.
Seriously,
after a crime,
do you need a gun in your house? Crime is done. You just need someone with the paper and pencil,
No. I think you're missing the point. The point is that if we had a system that was worth a damn, you know, where there wasn't inequity all over the fucking place, we wouldn't need a paid mercenary police force. We have it here in Australia. We have it all over the place. I mean, police need criminals, right? Tell me that police don't love criminals but need them, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have a job. You know, it's a systemic thing. Anyway, I don't want to get into the deep philosophical subject on that.
Gotcha.
All I want to say is that Frank got pwned by a guy that probably isn't the best friend to you at the moment because of the, you know, the flat earth thing or whatever it is, that John Le Bon. John Le Bon did such a good job on Frank last night. I had to jump on this morning. I saw Frank there. Frank came in and he gave me, you know, a little bit of, see if I can work this magic on you again. And it wasn't going to work. I basically told him to go and fuck himself. I actually want to play a song for Frank. Would you hang around for a sec while I play a song?
Yeah, because you know what? We have to play a song because Frank got spanked.
Yeah, Frank got spanked. Betcha. So let me just. I should install
that was really good.
You know that program that you have been insisting that I install? It's called, Virtual Audio Cable. You know what?
Yes.
I still haven't installed that. So that's why I have to do it the old manual way. That's why I have to bullshit before I put a song on.
I don't think it's going to be any worse than my audio.
We've had a great stretch. We're already here. I hope you're already at home. Let's go for it.
You're a yarm or you're a wanker. Take your fucking choice. So who is your favorite genius? James Hurd or James Joyce?
Double.
You ever seen a live performance? Join the wanker club.
Take it forward, walk forward.
You thought I meant tabletop dancing. Well, you're a yabba.
Bingo. Double.
Wankers want you mobile phones,
But now that sort of changes.
Double girl.
And y'all once lived in cottage homes. Ain't social change amazing? Y'all and wanker want a girl. The wanker guy will get her.
Double.
Both of them are equally ugly. The wanker hides his better.
Fakeologist.com, and you're a wanker, and that's going out to a special guy. We love him, Frank the Salt Guy down there in Geelong. You know who you are. You're a wanker. Hey Ham, you still there, my sweet?
Oh yeah, Frank the wanker got spanked.
Frank the wanker got spanked. Yes, by John LeBon.
I'm
last
teasing.
Night. It was.
I'm teasing.
It was
one it's all good fun.
Yeah. Go.
It's all good fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A true piece of amazing radio. And I just wish I had the intelligence to do it before, because Frank has this weaselly, sort of slimy, wormy way of debating shit and then bringing in a whole bunch of stuff that makes us all look like fuckwits. I mean, we're talking about Dallas Goldberg, Ed Drini, oh, that other guy, Dave Jates, sort of stuff where... You know, mixing people up and then mixing it into the conversation. Anyway, so amen to our good friend down there too. Well, he's up in Queensland actually. He used to live down there. He's got that accent. Anyway, that's all. So well done to John LeBon.
Nah, it was great. I mean, the whole idea though, Rollo, like. A politician doesn't rise out of nowhere. They start at the local level and just kind of move up. And they really do. I mean, even the big wigs, you know, they start like, you can track where they went to college. These are humans where you can track where they have been, you know, so you know where they are. You could also, the actor who you say play them, you can track that actor and he has his old life and his whole high school and his set of parents. And it's easy to verify these two exist separately. So it really is like the dumbest argument in the whole world to say an actor could be one of these leaders, because they clearly can't be in two different places at the same time, and they clearly are.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's just – so where you're going with this, I understand where you're going with that, which is a fantastic – what you're saying there. Malcolm Turnbull and Anthony Hopkins. I mean, I know actors. I know what they look like, and I know what their voices sound like and how old they are. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull's got to be in his, like, 50s. Like, bloody hell, Hopkins has got to be in his 70s now. And it's retarded. It is retarded beyond belief. But the way he thinks he's skillfully bringing that into the conversation, it's easy in hindsight, 2020 hindsight, but it was just beautifully done when John LeBron was listening to this bullshit being spun by this salt guy and being able to fucking crank and flick this guy, you know, in real time, which is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and it was nice that, you know, when I had the same conversation with Frank, you know, he wouldn't be quiet. It's like, you know, but boy, John LeBron is so well spoken.
He can't be quiet. Hold on. What did you say again?
Oh, I'm just, you know, it's... they get their idea.
Couldn't he be quiet?
Let me rephrase.
Could he be quiet?
Let me rephrase.
I'm being an asshole.
You're funny. John said it so well, too. His words were just like so well spoken. It was like, it was nice. It was like he really just laid it out very plainly and very easy to understand. By Frank was full of shit.
Did you actually, so you've listened to it already as well?
Yes, a very, very good.
Well done. Yeah, well done to John. That was fantastic. All right. Well, I don't have much more to say about that. I'm not here to gloat him. I'm not a gloater. I mean, a little bit, rub the salt into the wound. It's just that Frank pissed me off so many a couple of times. But how many people have I pissed off over the years? Maybe they'll get their own back on me one day. What do you reckon? I lost K-Ham. So.
No, you're fine. Rollo, you're fine.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
Look, I was just saying,
who
how many
time
people
to get
I've...
mad at people?
No.
Waste of time.
I'd say the worst atrocities when it comes to the things that I've done on air would be trampling, talk over people. But I've always tried to be honest.
Was that the worst thing you've done?
I don't think I've lied.
I don't think you have trouble trampling at all.
Yeah, trampling mean talking over people.
Now I'm teasing you.
Yeah, you're right, mate. It's all good. I mean, there's no, me and you have known each other long enough now that, I won't say that, but I know. You're a good source, and you say that I'm a good source, so there we go. I mean, you like one another, and... I was hanging around to see if Ab would come in. Dell apparently heard all the whole thing going too, so he's written a whole bunch of stuff in the chat. So I was just listening to, there's a guy called, I have to go out to my other rig to look it up.
What does he study?
Give me a sec. Must have a show on talk show called Contrarious. I've heard the name before and he's given him shit as well.
You know what I'm looking up right now?
Ah, there you are.
Hello.
Always, every time I hear a blank spot, I think I've kicked the bloody, because I still have cords here in my house all over the place. I don't like cordless. I lose things. What are you looking up?
Explosive bolts.
Bolts. Are you talking about the thing on the, in the Challenger or whatever it is going up?
Yeah, the Wonder Bolt.
Yeah, the Wonder Bolt that Simon Shack was fascinated with there for a while.
One bolt holds the whole front end assembly of the shuttle onto the rocket.
Have anything to say about that at the moment.
It's held on by three bolts. Three.
Three. How did you make that segue? Was there even a segue there?
Well, I was cleaning out my teacher supplies.
Right.
And one summer I did a NASA thing, a NASA workshop for 3 weeks, and they gave us a bunch of goodies. So I'm looking at them, a bunch of NASA pictures of planets and the Eskimo Nebula.
Right. And tell me you've got one of those bolts.
I don't have the bolt, but I have a picture of this space shuttle attached to an airplane with also a Wonder Bolt.
You're a teacher, right? Teach me how that fucking thing can fly. And it comes back in.
It can't.
It's a flying brick, right? It's a brick.
It's not a brick. It's a hollow. It's a. Well, first of all, it's all fake. It's probably fake video footage. And if it is seen in public, it's probably just a plane outfitted, that's all, with some sort of shell on it.
But there's so many people, I've seen so many videos, and even people I really, really like, and they're sweethearts, and I don't want to burst there. It's almost like telling them Santa Claus doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
Is that they go there and they're looking at this thing in, I don't know, they've got them in sort of, Smithsonian Institutes or whatever it is, these museums or whatever it is. And you look at it and you go, how does that fucking thing possibly fly? It's just impossible that thing could fly. I mean, it's just the biggest lie there is when it comes to the space shuttle. Forget it going up and the Challenger and blowing up and the back in the space. When it comes back in and you see that footage of it, how is it flying? Impossible. Yeah. Impossible. Yeah, and that's what Simon Shack.
The wings are completely flat.
He tried
underneath.
To yell at the top of his voice on cluesforum.info. You brought it up. So, yeah, the flying brick. Again, we can't let NASA get away with it. NASA has got away with the moon landings for how long now? 60 years?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on. My math is terrible. Nine. Hold on. It must be 45 years because I was born in 69.
When was the first moon landing? When was that?
Yeah, I was born in 69, so it's 45 years. I'm 45 years old. And the space shuttle mission started in 81, I remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when the space shuttle comes in to land, it's the most ridiculous part. That fucking thing cannot fly. It's just...
You think that's real footage of something landing?
No, it isn't. It's fake. It has to be. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for that thing unless it's got sort of anti-gravity Martian... or sort of, space alien technology we don't know about, there's no reason for that thing to be able to hang in the air like bricks don't.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, they're like, it's a flying brick. I'm like, well,
yeah,
bricks don't fly, they drop. So, no, it's not a flying brick.
That. You know that. Remember Dell said to me, he said, do you want to know how gravity works? Yeah, all right. I'm here to jump off the top. No, don't say that.
But you know what I think
he said that was density.
Density, yeah. Right.
Yeah, stupidity.
Hit you with the pillow.
Not gravity.
Yeah.
He said something much funnier. Yeah.
Well, you know what I think reality is? I just got this idea the other day. I think, because I was thinking about satellites, and a lot of people send information to satellites. A lot of companies go through satellites. So to say satellites don't exist... you'd have to find some sort of alternative system that's collecting all that information and relaying it on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
I don't. Help me out.
What Where could be replacing satellites? I mean, could it be there's big, giant...
Like Ab said, old technology. Old technology just
because
being recycled.
Right. So when you look, and if I go to my backyard at night, any night, it's a clear night, doesn't matter, and I look up in the sky, and I sit, and I see... on the east, I see a blinking light way up there. It's a little tinier than the starlight. But if you just really look and stare at one spot, you can see it blinking by. And it blinks and it moves and it blinks and it moves in a straight path through the... It stays in the course. Well, first of all, they can't be satellites because satellites don't have running lights. There's no exterior lighting on satellites. So if you see a light, you're guaranteed it's not a satellite. So now there's this whole glint thing people are talking about, but it's momentarily, it's like one flash and it's done. It can't continue to blink throughout the entire sky. So it's something with an exterior light on it. And because the way it's blinking, it looks like an aircraft that's approved by the FAA. It looks like some sort of approved, licensed type of aircraft. But what would it be way up there in the steady course? I think... what people are calling satellites are just giant zeppelins floating up there in the highest parts of our atmosphere that they can reach. I think they're just helium. They're just zeppelins. Those are our satellites. Underneath them, they probably have some sort of assembly that might carry a communications device. I'm speculating, but I think it makes the most sense. What do you think?
Again. Oh, the humanity. All I can think is, humanity. When I think of zeppelins.
Uh-huh. Exactly. What if at that same moment in time, and Simon mentioned this, okay? I'm stealing this from Simon. At that, and maybe Hoy too. At that same moment in time when that Zeppelin was destroyed, they took it out of public use, so now it could go top secret. Because you know what? Let me tell you a thing I just heard on Friday. I was talking to a science teacher at school, and she said her kids were doing bubble experiments. So they filled them with different chemicals to see what would happen. So they filled the bubble with, you know, a bunch of different chemicals, but the two important ones are helium. She filled the bubble with helium, and you know what? It dropped because the bubble liquid material was heavier than the helium amount inside it could handle, right? But then the kid filled the bubble with hydrogen, and you know what? That same amount of bubble, it shot way up to the ceiling, shot right up there. Helium is so much more, I mean, not helium, hydrogen is so much lighter than helium. It's no comparison. So I think they're using helium up in, like Zeppelins as the carrier for the satellite communications device, if they're there at all. But I don't know, I'm seeing something in my sky, and it's blinking a steady blink, like it's got a license and it's registered and stuff. That's what I
the springtime of my life, the second season, I'm glowing, you are the sunlight in my glowing, so little warmth I've felt before, it isn't hard to feel me glow. I watched the fire that grew so low.
Song.
Oh, that was
That's
lovely.
The Rain Song by not the helium or the hydrogen, but the Led Zeppelin. He's still there, Kay.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin. So, oh my God, and look at that,
you started,
Led Zeppelin.
You started to sort of, I'm going, we're off track here because we're still got to stay on
track.
You know where the track is?
I do not.
The track was last night. They've got to hold it on message that Frank the Salt Guy has been trolling, I think, Fakeologists for how long now? I mean, I've been doing it for 3 years, but he's done it for a year or so.
He comes and goes, yeah.
Yeah, but he's much better than I am, and he's got the better of me. So when old mate John LeBon stuck it to him last night, I can't help but saying, you know, feeling a little bit of joy. Am I wrong to feel a little bit of joy when he gets pwned like that?
Yes. Was that the
right
answer?
I should not take joy.
You want me to give you permission? Are you asking for permission? I'll give you permission.
Right,
yes.
I love the way you go. Yes. Is that the right answer? Or no. Is that the right answer? No, it's all good.
Hey, back to Led Zeppelin for a minute. Guess when they were formed as a rock band?
I don't know when John Bonham decided, let's form a rock band. Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, who was the other guy?
John Paul Jones.
Oh, there you go.
John Bonham. I don't think anyone ever remembers the drummer.
What a drummer. Not as good as Neil Peart.
There you go.
Neil Peart, I would say, there are plenty of great drummers, but Neil Peart, I reckon. Only because I'm sucking up to Ab. Because Neil Peart's the drummer for Rush. All right. Yes? Where are you going with this?
They formed in 1968.
Yep. I've got their best of. I mean, what's your favorite Led Zepp song? Do you want to play it? What's your favorite one? I mean, I played the Rain song there just for a little bit, just to, because it was obscure, not one of their big hits.
Let me think. Led Zeppelin's best song.
No, I mean your.
My
favorite.
Led Zeppelin's.
Do you like the band?
Favorite song. Yeah. Let me see if I can figure out one that's fun and spunky that I like.
Don't say Stairway to Heaven. You're going to say Stairway to Heaven. I know you're going to say Stairway to Heaven.
I was going to say Stairway to Heaven.
Don't say Stairway to Heaven. Come on. Anything but Stairway to Heaven.
I like the melancholy songs.
Well, we can sing it together. There's a lady who's sure all the glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. She gets there, she knows all the stores are all closed.
What was Good Times, Bad Times? I forgot that one.
Good times, bad times. You know we've had a few.
Yeah.
A bad song. It's kind of a good rock and roll song with that
one. Let's play that one.
You want that one?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get
chatting
until I
cue it up.
Serious
rock and roll down in here with the Led Zeppelin.
Bad times. Well, we had them last night, actually, in that debate.
Yes.
If that was a debate, it was an owning. Want a live version, or should we play the? Good times. All right, we'll play that one there. That looks like a good night. Crisp. So many ads.
It only took a couple of days till she was rid of me. She swore that she would be all mine and love me till the end. But when I whispered in her ear, I lost another friend. Oh.
Good times, bad times, you know I've had my share. When my woman left home for a man, but I still don't seem to care.
you know I've had my share. When my woman left home for a brown eyed man, but I still don't seem to care.
Yeah, good times, bad times. You know we've had a few, AKM. Here we are at psychologist.com. Good times, bad times. You there, still there, sweetheart?
Still here.
Yeah. Still good here. Times, bad times. You remember the tune?
Yep. Now if you play it, I'm like, that's right, I remember that.
Good times, bad times. That's Robert Plant. Could you hear his voice? Robert Plant has such a good voice, gravelly. You know, he's your lead singer you'd want. I mean, so much better than, I don't want to sort of compare him to anyone, but they were my father's favorite band. Yeah.
Your father's favorite band was Led Zeppelin?
Absolutely.
That is so damn cool.
Way,
you'd
think he'd be in the Beatles and bloody Rolling Stones and that, and he saw the Stones in Shepherd's Bush. By the way, the other day when I was yelling over sheep at the top when Battersea Power Station, I couldn't remember my lovely uncle. He had a flat, and I could see Battersea Power Station from his flat, and it was a beautiful view. If you know what a Battersea Power Station is, it's this sort of brick building, which is all sort of like it's nothing, but it's got these four chimneys anyone who knows anything knows Battersea Power Station and Pink Floyd. And it had a big pig at the time, a big plastic pig that they blew up and flew between the chimneys. And I remember looking out at that back in 99 when I visited him. He was just a lovely guy. And I remember looking at that view and going, my God, that's the Pink Floyd cover. Anyway, I'm boring. I can hear radio switching off.
No, you're not. Interesting. Interesting bit of history there. That's cool. So,
Babe, maybe, babe, I'm going to leave you.
Right now?
Well, it's kind of a joke. Yeah.
Oh, it's
listen.
One of the songs.
Listen.
Baby, I'm gonna leave you. I said, baby, you know I'm gonna leave you. I'll leave you in the summertime. Leave you when the summer comes rolling. Leave you when the summer comes to ramble. Oh yeah, baby, baby, I've been really got to ramble. I can hear it calling me the way it used to do. I can hear it calling me back home. We'll be right back.
That was
still
good.
Still got it going in my headphones.
That was good.
Kahem says she's only got 5 more minutes to stay with us. So, unfortunately, I would have to listen to that at a later stage. You still there, my sweet?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. You got to go in 5. That's fair enough. I just enjoy playing a little bit of Led Zepp. Ah, oh, man, it makes me feel so old and yet so young. Led Zepp's a great band. Anyway, so
Led Zeppelin.
Have we got any final thoughts on? I guess you heard the poning, the owning, or whatever you want to call it, of our old mate Frank the Salt Guy. Who, I'll give him something. He didn't get flicked. If I was Tom Dalper, because it seemed like Tommy was running the show, and what's he? John Le Bon and Frank the Salt Guy were the sort of protagonists. I would have flicked him. I don't know, way before. Well, I don't even know if Tommy knows actually how to flick. You know what I'm talking about?
But I have a
Ab
question.
Ab had two interruptions in his chat with Chris from Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
Some guy that was so drunk.
Ab gives, you know, everyone talking power immediately when they show up, but I don't. I mean, when I was doing Kahama, I'm like, you talk to me in the lobby first to find out who you are. So, but you know, if you're just going to let them open on live air, of course, because there's a lot of teenagers who do gaming, right? So they look at the list of who all the clients are and they'll just kind of pop in and out, see what's going on. Yep. So I used to get them all the time, just come in and out. They're just going through each kind of channel, see what's going on in other places.
Yeah. It just happened to be an Australian guy, though, that happened to come in just at the beginning of, because you could see that
that guy was a fakeologist, right? That's why he was here to listen to us, right?
No, I don't know. It was just horrible, one, that he was an Australian, and two, that he was extremely drunk. And I'm going, Oh man, I hope this doesn't rub off on me.
Don't worry.
Seriously, man. I mean, we're not all drunk down here. I mean, even when I have had a few, I'm still compos mentis. I can still. He was there going, I want to talk logic. I'm into logic, and I'm going, what's going on here? I'm freaking out. Anyway.
Well, I have a question, though, about Frank.
Sure.
So we can feel how we want about the argument, but how did Frank feel about it? I think that's almost as important as how we feel. Did Frank think he lost?
Go and look into the chat at chat.fakeologist.com. Frank has just, been pounding tons of stuff in there.
Yeah, I don't think he lost, though. He thought because he has a different belief system. That's why, they have completely different belief systems. They're never going to agree. Frank doesn't think he did anything wrong. Frank thinks he's perfectly sensible. Still.
Well, anyone who thinks, that Malcolm Turnbull is Anthony Hopkins or Julia Gillard is Jodie Foster, I mean, is delusional.
And you know
it doesn't mean they're bad people and they don't need to be locked up or medicated, but they should not be let anywhere near fakeologist.com. I think anyone who comes in with that sort of delusional talk can just fuck the right off, in my opinion. And I know it's not up to me to say that. It's up to Ab, who has put all the time and effort into this. But I feel that me and Ab have got a strong enough relationship now that I know bullshit when I see it. And he actually wrote in the chat that, you're a pain in the ass, basically. I can't even remember what he wrote. He wrote something like, it's not up to me to prove it right. It's up to you to, I don't know. He used some sort of argument that I don't understand all that sort of technical argument stuff. That's why Frank has probably got the best of me a couple of times, but when John Le Bon stuck it to him last night, I mean, I'm sorry, I've got a pleasure, a joy that I haven't felt in a long time. And, I enjoyed it massive. So there we go. So if you've got to go, do you want to, have you got a Led Zepp song you'd like to play out with, or would you or another song of any type?
Well, first, I want to go back to the Frank thing for just a minute,
sure.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll be quiet.
Okay. And Dallas Goldbug. Okay. I was talking with Hoy and Simon this summer, and we were talking about it, and, you know, it was like Dallas Goldbug, their feeling, it could be a direct response to the Vixen report, a direct response in order to blur the lines of what's actually being done here. So the Dallas Goldbug thing, it's a 100% co-intel pro. I'm pretty sure all the information looks like this because of the Vixen report. And that's how powerful co-intel pro is. They are monitoring us daily. But, I mean, we're fine. Simon Hoy says, but, you know, these guys aren't dangerous at all. They're a copycat. That's what they do. They monitored a copycat. They don't monitor to hurt anyone or to do anything like it. It's to copycat us. And that's what they're best at. So they monitor us, find our information, mix it up, spit it back out at us, and confuse us. And that's exactly what they did with the Vixen report and Dallas Goldbug. It seems to be really what's going on there. And there's a whole bunch of other examples that Simon and Hoy could tell us one day. I wish they would. Of some what appeared to be direct responses from the COINTELPRO to their research at Clues Forum. It's a fascinating group of information and stuff. Have you heard any of that, Rollo? Hello, Rollo. Rockin' Rollo. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rockin' Rollo Show. This is Kay. We're playing Led Zeppelin songs today. Call in with your favorite Led Zeppelin song, and we'll see if we can play that over the air.
Hey, there you are. Sorry, I'm back.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna pick our favorite Led Zeppelin song.
Did you want to play out with one, or are you gonna hang around for a little longer?
Yeah, I gotta go. Let's play out with the good one.
All right. Yeah, we'll pick one, and I'll play it. Don't worry.
I'm trying to find a real late one, obscure.
Well,
Misty Mountain Hop.
They busted up in years what? Ago, but how about
10 years
Log?
Gone, maybe. Which one?
Let's play Big Log by Robert Plant.
Oh, that's good.
He sung Led Zeppelin. What do you reckon? Big Log?
That sounds, yes, make it happen.
Big Log, make it happen.
Yes.
Well, I was just in the bathroom, and I can still hear you jabbering on when I'm in the bathroom, having a little wee-wee. And you were saying that basically, let me just say, you were saying that you think that Frank the Salt Guy is like a part of a COINTELPRO type thing to attack us.
Oh, Frank! I don't know about Frank. I don't know who, because you know what
all
the
right,
problem
but
is.
You, Dallas he,
no,
Goldbug.
People,
you think
yeah,
Dallas
Goldbug,
Goldbug is definitely a concentrated effort to get at Shaq and his work.
I think part of it, I think they're always have to be multifaceted, but in one part, I think, yeah, to obscure and confuse the Vixen report. I think so. Fake right. people, right? We're talking about fake people. The Vixen report's
yeah,
about
sure,
fake
sure.
people. Dallas Goldbug's about fake people. I think it's one and the same idea, among others, of course, but anyway, it's a consideration. Well, not
yeah,
you. You're never sure. We're speculating the hell out of this, man. We should be called the speculators instead of fakeologists.
Go speculators!
Speculatologists.
Can I play,
that
Can I play
really
go speculators
do.
Instead? Do you want me to play Big Log or Guy Speculators is a better song?
You think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's an Australian band, too.
Oh, okay.
So,
look, let's
my internet's playing up. My internet's playing up, so I'll play out with Go Speculators. It's
okay.
Always good to talk to you, Kaham.
Yeah, great to talk to you too, Rollo.
Don't be a stranger, right. And like we certainly haven't been strangers. Probably we've spoken more now that you're not doing the Kaham show than ever.
Well, I got a bit more time.
That's good. I mean, at least we've got something to talk about. I mean, it is a bit negative, but Frank the Salt Guy was Mr. Negative, in my opinion. I thought he was, his debating style, his whole pitch, if that's what you want to call it, it was just, designed to confuse. It confused the shit out of me the first time he got on, and then he did it again, and I went, oh, fuck. What am I, how do I counteract this? And then, of course, he got John Le Bon last night, and, of course, he met his match. He got his ass match. Kicked. Yeah,
hard.
He got
spanked. Frank got spanked.
Yeah, spanked. Yeah, Frank got spanked. Yeah, Go Speculator. So I'm going to play Go Speculator, but I have to reset my internet. So, good mind. Au revoir. Shall we talk again, my sweet?
Au revoir, mon ami.
Au revoir, mon ami. Oh, yes. All right. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Microphone activated.
Speculator, as you lead the charge of currency, $3 trillion a day you play with electronically. See that thing on your screen? Do you realize what everybody means? This week's offering in London, skip roll, largest Mexico. I said, come on, go speculator. Trader, you're the poor man's puppeteer. The futures are yours, you know, with the marketplace that bought you here. And you're the strangest fan of what you call supply demand. You gamble for supply and through your actions to dictate them. Your greed quite literally decisions that you make justified by the gambling stakes affect us all. Millions feed upon your greed quite literally decisions that you make justified by the gambling stakes affect us all. Zombies fiend on me, let things that you first bought the crowd, let your prices be that difference between feeding and starvation. So let it go. Go, go, speculator, trade up blood if the money's alright, then go. Commodity trade up the grind, it's a grind, it's a grind, it's a grind.
Hi, this is Jeffrey, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.